The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
To be back with you here today, and I'm excited to kind of finish up this series we called Labeled. And we've been looking at it for a few weeks, so if you're coming in and this is you missed the other two, well, you can always catch up online and check it out there. You can follow us when you're away, of course, on live feed, and we enjoy having you that way too. So if you're at home and you got your feet up, that's okay. We love you too, and we're so excited that you can join with us. We just are trying to get through the beginning of this year in a new way. In fact, we're looking at how do we find our worth? How do we find our value? How do we see ourselves in a fresh new way? And I guess what my prayer for us here today is that you would get a new label, that you would get a new name actually given to you. Something that you could hear from God today, you could hang on to, and you could begin this year knowing that God has given you a name that you can trust in, that you can go back to, you can run back to a place of refuge no matter what you're facing. And so I can't give you that name today, which is interesting. We've been talking about how you are loved, that you're God's child, and that is a name that maybe you'll claim today. But I've been praying that God would whisper something to you personally for you. I really believe that God gave me this name. And maybe you'll doubt it sometimes, maybe you'll struggle, maybe you even find yourself arguing with it even today. But if you know that God whispered it to you, that it would become a foundation for you, that every day that when you hear other labels being put on you, whether it's from yourself, your inside, what you say about yourself that's not good, what other people are saying about you that would tear you down, or what the enemy comes against you to take you off your game, that you would run back to what you know for sure. What God said is true about you from His Word. And so that's what we're going to pray that God does for you today. So let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your presence. You promised to be here today. You say when we gather together, when we glorify Your name, Jesus, that You promised that You would come and be present with us. You say in Your Word that when we trust You, when we believe what You said is true, that You would adopt us into Your family, and You do that by giving us Your Spirit to live within us. So I pray that You would speak today, that we would hear from You, that we would know that we are loved, that we are accepted, that we are forgiven, that we are redeemed, that we are pure, that we are holy. That we would begin this year on a whole different footing than maybe we've ever began a year before. That we could trust and rely upon Your Word. So we look forward to what You're going to do today. We thank You for being present with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, who are you really? That's what we've been looking at. And we find that really what we say about ourselves or what other people say about us can define us. It can drive us. It can mold us. It can shape us. It can actually make us decide to do certain things certain ways. And we can get whole motivated in good ways and bad ways by external labels. And so one of the things that we've been trying to get through this series into the truth of our being is that actually the true identity of who I am is not based upon what other people say about me. Because you know and I know that what other people maybe think or what people say is never actually the full truth, is it? Even when it's good things, we kind of will argue in our own head, well, sometimes even if someone's saying something good about us, we'll argue back and forth in our own head. Oh, if you only really knew me, maybe you wouldn't think that. Or if you knew what I was really like or what I was really thinking, I'm not so sure you would get that. Or sometimes it's negative things and people are saying things about us and we're like, you don't understand me at all. That's not me. Then we realize, though, it's not just about going to ourself, because we're sometimes our worst enemy. What we believe on the inside, when we look in the mirror, what we think about ourselves, we're not very kind to ourselves most days. We're our harshest critic. And so what if our identity, what if who we are, what if our value, what if our purpose, what if the thing that makes us acceptable doesn't come from us and it doesn't come from others, but it actually comes from who God says that I am. So that's what we've been looking at and studying, and we've been kind of hanging out in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, and I want to go there again, and you can grab the Bible in front of you if you want, and it's going to be on page about 916, or you can use your app, or you can use your own Bible, or however, or you can follow on the screen. But I'm going to read some from Romans chapter 8. I'm actually not going to put it on the screen. We've looked at it a few times already. Our core identity, and what I would say, what we've been learning throughout this series is that we have this need within us to be accepted. That there's something that we need outside of ourselves. That's not just enough to believe in ourselves. That we are created to need to be accepted. And that's why a lot of us chase after other people's acceptance. And we do all kinds of things hoping that people will accept us. And sometimes we play games. Sometimes we pretend we aren't, you know, we're something we're really not, in hopes that people will accept us, because we need to feel accepted. We also need to feel significant, and that's why so many of us chase after things in life, a success, a career, or education, or a certain status, or to accomplish something, that we would feel significant, because we have a need to feel significant, and I think that was created in us. And we have a need that's been created for us to feel secure, that we would feel safe. And so many times we actually create a life around us of trying to make ourselves feel safe. And we do everything we can to either keep ourselves healthy or keep us away from danger, or we actually fear certain people or certain relationships or certain situations that make us uncomfortable or not safe. And so we protect ourselves. And all of these things, a desire for significance, a desire for acceptance, a desire for being safe and secure, sometimes these pursuits of these are the very things that keep us distant from other people, from really being known, from really being loved. And sometimes the pursuit of this actually breaks down relationships around us and actually hurts us in the end. So we've been looking at Romans chapter 8, how we are finding that in our relationship with God, that we can actually get these needs met, these external needs of acceptance, significance, and security. And so in Romans chapter 8, we learn that it is from Christ Jesus, the work of Christ on the cross, that makes us acceptable to God. And so, although we struggle at times we don't always get everything right, that Romans chapter 8 says that there is in Christ no condemnation for those who belong to Him. In other words, there's no judgment coming against those who unite themselves and belong to Jesus Christ. How do we belong to Him? The book of John said those who believe Him, those who trust in Him, those who trust in the work of Christ on the cross, those are the ones that belong to Him. The ones that listen to His words, the ones who remain in Him, the ones who follow Him, those are the ones that belong to Him, not because of their performance, but because of what He has done for them. And so in Romans chapter 8, a little bit later on, he says that we, and verse 15, that the Spirit of God given to those who believe in Him become adopted, that we get brought into God's family, and that we can relate to our Heavenly Father as a dad. Or Abba Father, which is a endearment term, which means like daddy. That in Jesus Christ, because of what He has done, we receive adoption into a heavenly family. We receive adoption into His own family and become heirs of Christ. Heirs of the great King. We can refer to Him as dad. So these are the things that we're looking at. And I want to finish up Romans chapter 8, because we're talking about how do we find our worth and our value and our identity. And so he says then in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, he goes in and he says, so then if this is true, or if all this stuff that we're talking about, all these wonderful things, if this is all true, if God is for us, So in Christ, because of what he has done, if he is for us, then who can ever be against us? In other words, if this is true, if we've been accepted by God because of Jesus Christ, if we have been purified, made righteous because of him, justified before God, we have been made holy by him, not because of what we've done, but because of what he did on the cross. If this is true, and God is for us, he's our dad, who is ever going to be able to stand up against us anymore? In other words, who is ever going to be able to throw accusations at us? He's like saying, you got this Almighty God as your daddy. What bully is going to be able to stand up to God? So no matter what comes against you, whatever comes against you, the accusations, whether it's from yourself, your past comes up to haunt you, your own self-talk comes against you, or others come up against you, he says God is for us. So who's ever going to be able to stand up against who you are? You are his child. He said he didn't not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Won't he also give up everything else for us? So who dares? Who would dare accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? That's going to be hard. You're going to have accusations. You're going to have false labels put on you in this life. You're going to have people who misunderstand you, who misjudge you. You're going to have your past come up and haunt you. You're going to have your own self-talk accuse you that you are not acceptable, that you are not worthy, that you are not loved, that you are not forgiven. You are going to have these accusations come up against you. But if God is on your side, if God is for you, then those accusations will not stand. He says no one will be able to accuse you before God. For he himself is the one that has given us right standing with himself. So then who is going to judge us? Is it going to be Jesus, he says? Perhaps the one who lived the perfect life. Maybe Jesus is the one that could stand up against us. Maybe he's the one that will point out our faults. He says, well, no. For Jesus is the one that died for us. He was the one that was raised to life for us. And he is the one and who is now sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand. He is the one pleading for us on our behalf. He's the one defending you. The Bible talks about Satan as being the one who is throwing accusations at you. Sometimes we don't know where they're coming from and they're on the side. But he stands before us, accusing the brethren, before God, accusing us, pointing out our flaws, pointing out our sins, pointing out our past. And it says here, but Jesus is the one standing beside the Father, and he's the one pleading our case, reminding the Father that our sins have been dealt with on the cross. So what in the world can ever be accused, whatever label that is false, can ever withstand the love of the Father and the defense of the Son? He says nothing. So if you have the Father who loves you, who's accepted you through Jesus Christ, you have Jesus who is the one defending you, then he says in verse 35, so then what can ever separate us from his love? If these people are on your side, and they're the ones that did everything possible, what could separate you? So does it mean then that he doesn't love us if we face troubles? So sometimes that would happen, right? We face troubles or calamities, or we become persecuted, or we go hungry, or we're destitute, or we become endangered, or we feel threatened. Or death. He says, when these things happen, sometimes we think, wait a minute, maybe then God isn't for us. He says, do these things mean that God isn't for us? Do these things separate us? No. Despite all of these things that can happen, despite all of these things that will come up against you in your life, despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. So his conclusion is, our position in Christ, I am convinced then that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor the demons, neither the fears for today nor the worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell will be able to separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above, nothing in the earth below. Indeed, nothing that's ever been created or nothing in creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is an amazing position or identity that we find ourselves in because of Jesus Christ. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, whoever believes in Him, trusts in what He did for us on the cross, receives this kind of acceptance, this kind of significance, that we would be called a child of God, that everything that is Christ in Christ's glory has been offered and given to us, and that we would be provided this kind of security. That there's nothing that can shake us. It doesn't matter what we face today, what comes against us. It doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are. It doesn't matter what the accusations are coming or where they're coming from other people, from ourselves, from the evil one. All of these things, none of it means anything in our position in Jesus Christ. It is firm. That is an astounding identity. We need to get that, like we said, from our head into our heart. What would change this year if we believe that to the core of our being, no matter how we were feeling that day, no matter what came up against us, no matter who threw another label on us or what accusations came our way, that we would choose to believe and trust what God says about us is true. Now, in this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8, this is all becomes possible, Paul says, through the work of the Holy Spirit. 18 times in this chapter alone, he mentions that the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, that testifies to us, that talks to us, that reminds us who we are. His job is to guide us. Jesus said He was going to send to us His Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to lead us into truth. That we would know these things. And by knowing these things and holding to these things, that we would become free in our life. That we would be able to walk in the freedom of the Spirit. And we'd be able to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our life, which is peace. Self-control, kindness, patience, all these wonderful things that we would love to be labeled as. That is the work of the Spirit as we trust Him, as we listen, as we allow ourselves to be guided by Him. This is what He does. Paul says in Galatians 5, and I want to put this on the screen for you. So he says, in light of all this, in light of who we are, Paul says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Well, the sinful nature wants to do what's evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. If you were here last week, and you have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 8, around 9:15, page 9:15. You'll notice in chapter 7, this sounds very familiar to what Paul was talking about right before Romans 8. This struggle, this desire that's inside to do what is right, to follow God's law. But this war that's going on with the old flesh, the old way. And Paul kind of sums it up and says, it's like there's a war going on inside my mind. And he's talking about this struggle. The Spirit is there to guide us and to help us and to teach us and to correct us and to walk. But at the same time, we have a history. We have a life of brokenness and hardships, and we've been wounded, and we got things in our identity that got twisted, and we got to get into the process now of beginning to walk in this newness of truth. So it's one thing to say, well, this is true about me. God's word says, I am loved, I am accepted, I am secure, I am significant. It's another thing to begin to walk in that every day and believe in that, right? It's a whole nother process. That is the work of the Spirit. And here he says something that's really interesting in the beginning of this verse. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide you. Here's the thing about being set free. Paul talks about in Romans up to chapter 8, this whole concept of how we've been in bondage to sin. We're enslaved to sin. In other words, we're stuck. We're chained. We can't get out. We can't do anything but sin. But in Christ Jesus, because he came and he died for us on the cross, he is set free. He set us free. We're free now from bondage to do sin. And now we have a choice. We have a choice. God doesn't now step into your life and wrestle you down to the mat. I wish he would some days, to be honest. I really do. I get sick of myself tripping over myself some days. I feel like Paul. Like I want to, I can't, and I wish I could. I have a choice. I can let the Spirit guide me, or I can take the reins. I can live like a slave, even though I've been set free. 1865, the slaves were set free. But so many of them had no idea how to live as free people. And so a lot of them continued to live as slaves. They just continued to live out all the stuff that they had ever learned and ever known. It's the only existence they knew. They didn't have the means. They didn't know what to do next. And so many of them stayed. This can happen to us. We can come to Christ. We can accept the message. We can believe in our heads that this is all true, what the Father has done for us through Jesus Christ, that he has set us free. But now we have a choice. We have to choose how we go. Are we going to let the Spirit guide us? What he did in Jesus Christ is he restored what happened back at Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember those two? In the garden, they were free. They walked with God. They were in right relationship with God. There was nothing hindering their relationship with God. And they chose sin and the relationship was broken. Well, in Christ Jesus, he's taken us and he's redeemed us and he's brought us back to the very position. And each of us, this is the scary moment, it's like we're put back in right relationship with God, put back in the garden. And now we get to choose. Every day we wake up and we choose. Will we let the Spirit guide us today in our freedom, in our new identity? Or will we choose the old way, our old life? Romans chapter 12, when he gets on past chapter 8, Paul says this, so dear brothers and sisters, in light of all this stuff that Jesus has done, in light of this new identity, this whole new existence, this new creation, I plead with you. I plead with you because you have a choice. I plead with you, would you give these bodies that have been redeemed, that have been rescued, that have been saved, would you give your lives back to God? Allow him to lead and to guide you because of what he's done for you. Would you let yourself become a living, holy sacrifice? A life of sacrifice for him. Would you live every day this way? The kind that he finds acceptable. You know what's really interesting in this? And I don't have time to go into everything all the time. It bugs me. I'd love to spend all day with you guys. I know you're like, no, I won't. But, the whole Old Testament is all about how do we make you know, something acceptable to God and the sacrificial system. And, you know, if you did this wrong, you got to do this. You got to make this acceptable. And this kind of sacrifice is acceptable. And that kind is not acceptable. And all this stuff going on to make. And he says, look, you have a choice. Do you realize that you have a choice today to give you yourself? Yes, you. The one that you just looked in the mirror today. And you know your past, and you know your brokenness, and you know your mess, and you know what you did last week, but you could present yourself today because of Jesus Christ as a living sacrifice, and you would be acceptable. Why? Because of what Christ has done, because of your identity, because of who you are. It's true. He's saying what's true about you is that your identity is pure and holy and righteous. You maybe not see it very well in the mirror, but that's what it is. And if you would choose today to lay down, to give your choice to Him, you would be an acceptable offering. Not because you're knocking it out of the park, but because you belong in relationship to Him. That is astounding. Well, what do we do as a response to this? The next verse he says, so, as you're going to walk forward as a living sacrifice, we need to begin to walk in this new understanding of who we are. And so our choice is, are we going to conform to the way we used to think, the old pattern, your old ways, your old mistakes, your old thought patterns, what you believed about yourself, your struggle for significance, your struggle for security, your desire for acceptance? Are you going to go back and do the same things, the old patterns of life? Or are you going to allow the Spirit to guide you to transform your mind? So you think differently, you see things differently, you begin to see yourself for who you are, and you begin to see others for who they are. Our brains are amazing, amazing things. They've shown that your brain is, in science, constantly changing. It's rewiring itself all the time. And it's hardwiring certain things in there. Like if you do this and then this and then this and you do that repetitively, you do that the thought, right? And that thought, I actually have it there, so I'm going to jump to it because I'm talking about it. So, you know, you sow that thought. You've heard this before probably, right? You sow the thought and you reap an action from sowing that thought. And that action, if it's repeated enough, becomes a habit. And that habit, if it's repeated enough, actually becomes part of who you are and your character. In other words, it just becomes a natural part of you. Now, this is happening on multiple levels. This happens in your identity, but it happens from the really small things. It happens when you get up in the middle of the night and you remember not to trip on things, even though you're half asleep. You remember where the light switch is, but you didn't remember ever turning it on, those kind of things. But this happens in the times when you're driving, you know, you're going somewhere. This happened to me this weekend. I was supposed to be going with my wife to a store, and I started down a path, right? I started turning one turn, another turn. My brain said, oh, we know where we're going. This looks familiar. And I'm almost at work. And my wife's sitting next to me going, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. We're not going here. I'm like, you're right. We're not going here. How did we get here? You ever had those scary moments? She says she doesn't have them. I think she's lying. I don't want to confess this, but I've traveled great distances in vehicles and can't remember almost anything. Maybe I am, she says I have a problem, but maybe I'm it, but I think you're like that. But this is one little thing, but we do this all the time, and we do this with emotions and feelings and patterns of thought. And for some of us, we've thought certain thoughts so much about ourselves, or so much about someone else, That all it takes is a little bit of stimulus. All it takes is a little bit of going down that path. And your brain starts to fire and say, oh yeah, we know how we feel. We know what we think next. We know what we believe about this scenario. And you start doing and saying things just like your brain thought it was supposed to. This isn't easy work. It's one thing to understand who you are in Christ. It's a whole nother lifelong journey in obedience to the Spirit to transform ourselves into who we actually are. It takes time. It's like, I'm going to the Grand Canyon this year. That's the plan. And, you know, you go to these places where valleys have been cut out by these tiny little rivers at the bottom. Like, it's crazy. How did this get created from this? Over long periods of time, consistency in the same direction, carved out. Do you know how hard it is now for it to rain and not go into the valley? Ever think about that? Well, the thing is, our life is surrounded by rain and storms and stimulus and thoughts. And so many times when that stuff comes our way, it just starts to settle into the old pattern, the old way we did it. It's really hard to carve a new path. And so he says, you know, even when the storms come, or calamity comes, or hardship comes, or death comes, or persecution comes, and all these things come, that doesn't mean he doesn't love us. But it means that we have to remind ourselves. It means we have to trust who God says we really are. Does it mean that he doesn't love us? No, it doesn't mean that. It means he loves us anyways. And so it's really hard for us to remind ourselves of this alone. And so I want to encourage you that you need, the reason why you need to meditate upon Scripture, the reason why you need to get this into you is because this is where the truth is found. And there's so much outside. And I sound like old person, sorry. I'm midlife. My kids, you know, I say these things now and I'm like, my parents said those things. Like, but your music and, you know, you say the TV that you watch and the friends you hang out with. But it's true. Because all that external stuff that you're pouring into you, all that stuff, and it filters. And if you're not putting the truth in, the truth is an uphill climb into a valley that not many people go. It is a narrow, narrow road, narrow path. And for us to get that into us, we need to discover what are the lies that we believe when we look in the mirror. What are the ones, the scripts that people say about us that we're like, yeah, they're right. I'm not really lovable. Yeah, they're right. I do kind of always fail. You know what? They're right. I didn't really do that well. And you know what? I guess I'm always going to be this way. And those are the scripts. Or you know what? I'm just that kind of person. And the reason why we need to take truth and we need to put it up against those things. And we need to, by faith, choose to believe despite our circumstances, despite how we feel, despite what we think as we look in the mirror. We need to listen to the Spirit and let it guide us. And the Spirit uses His Word. And so at the connecting point in the back, I printed out a sheet of paper, my identity in Jesus, and I gave you a bunch of verses, and I did it on the whole other side, and I gave you a bunch of more verses. So you can look at things, and you may struggle, and you go, I don't know. I don't know. Do I have peace with God? It says that I have peace with God. I got to believe that. I don't know. It says I'm free from condemnation. It says I'm free from sin and death. It says I'm made alive. It says I'm a new creation. It says I'm a child of God. It says I'm a conqueror. I don't feel like a conqueror. It says I can never be separated from the love of God, but I don't know if I feel His love. But do I choose to believe it anyways? It says I'm a new creation. I kind of feel like my old self today. But I choose to believe it's true. This is the process. This is what we need to do. We need to take the lies that we so often believe that come across us, that we're unlovable, we're lost, or worthless, or we're alone, or we're broken, we're unwanted, we're rejected, we're sinful, or we're ugly, or it's just too late for us. Whatever it is, I want you to look at that list for a second, and I want you to decide, If there's one up there, maybe it's something else. What is one of the things that you hear in your head that's a lie? According to God's word of what we're reading today, none of those are true. There's more. I can't give you what yours is. It's unique. Because of a wound that you have, whether it's from yourself or someone else, that something, lies get bedded into us and we start to filter and interpret every stimulus, everything we hear, and we believe it and we let it run into the old river. And so this process of walking by the Spirit is saying, no, those are lies. And I'm going to believe the truth. I'm not going to believe those things anymore. I'm going to believe that I'm accepted and I'm valued and that I'm actually set free. I am going to believe that I can conquer this because I am not in bondage. I am not a slave anymore. I choose to believe I'm victorious. I believe that I'm secure. I don't need to live in fear anymore. I've been not given a spirit of fear. I'm free from death, from everything. These are the things we need to do. So I'm going to ask you to do something. And a lot of you are going to think it's just corny. And that's okay. I'm taking a chance. We gave you "Hello, my name is" label. And I need you to process this. Because no matter how much I tell you today who you are, unless the Spirit testifies with your spirit, unless He tells you, "This is for you," I don't think it sticks. And so maybe it's something up there you can see on the screen. Maybe it's one of the things I said that would combat the lie. Whatever it is that combats the lie. If you live in fear, then maybe it's, "I'm not afraid. My name is not afraid." I don't know what it is. Maybe it's conqueror. Maybe it's freedom. Maybe you've bought into a lie that you'll always be a sinner. You're a sinner now. You're just stuck and you'll never get over it. And you're just in bondage. That in Jesus Christ is a lie. Maybe your new name this year is freedom. I don't know what He wants to say to you. I can't tell you. But I know He wants to speak to you. That's what He wants to do. That's why He did everything for you on the cross, that you might hear Him and be able to walk with Him. There is some Jiffy type Sharpie markers out there in the pews. There's not enough. The bosses were away and I bought like 250 of them and thought I better stop. So there's a lot of you, but there's pens, and I would like you to take one out and I want you to claim one of these things of truth. One that you think would help you walk forward into this year. So we're going to play a video, and as the video's going, I want you to take time. I want you to hear what you think God is saying to you, and I want you to write yourself a new name. And then I'm going to ask you to stick it on your nice clothes so you can introduce yourself to one another. I just want you to know and believe and by faith accept. Even if you are struggling, even if you're arguing with it, that by faith God says it's true. I don't feel it maybe. I don't even completely understand it, but I accept it today. So take that time to do that. Share the markers. Put them back if you can for later for the next people. That would be great. I'm going to take a couple minutes.
Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. Drag you right back.
As I prayed about that in the last day, actually, mine I put on is enough. I'm one of those really driven guys, and sometimes I don't know why I'm going so hard, I'm trying so hard, and I think God's just saying to me, you're enough. In me, you're enough. Relax, you can relax, you can enjoy, you can rest, you're enough. So I hope that you have something that God shares with you, or maybe you need to stay a little bit. You need to listen a little longer. You need to go to God's Word, or you need to go pick up one of these little inserts. And you need to look through the list and say, I claim one of those. You need to memorize those verses. You need to take out the old tapes, those old scripts that you run, and you need to put in a new one. Replace the lies with the truth. And this is really hard to do on your own. And that's why what Jason was saying up here is so important. It's hard to do on your own. And so I would encourage you to go down and get connected. Find community. Go to Alpha. Go into Celebrate Recovery and learn about your identity. Or find a small group that can believe for you when you can't believe. When you're having a bad time and when you look in the mirror, you can't understand what God sees is true, that they can do that on your behalf. That's what community is for. We're not meant to do this alone. And His Spirit is there, and He promises to show up, not just on Sunday mornings, but as we meet with other believers, and it's there that He testifies. It is where He is present that He speaks these words to you. So put yourself in those environments. Put yourself in His Word. Put yourself into community. So we're going to end with a celebration song, looking forward to our new identity in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to get you to stand. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for what you've done. Would You help us to choose today to allow Your Spirit to guide us forward, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of how we think or what we're feeling today? Would we learn to accept the identity that You've given us? Not because we deserve it, not because we earn it, but because we inherit it through Jesus Christ. Thank You for what You've done for us. Amen.